This is the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Anfield.
Billy, firstly, thanks for joining us. You're on loan at Austria Vienna at the moment. It's your first loan away from Liverpool. How are you finding it?
Thank you for the invitation, first of all. And then, I'm very good here. It's been now a few weeks, month. I'm here now, and it's very different than Liverpool, than even than England, the country. And obviously, the club is different. The league is different. The language is different. So everything is different. But everything is new for me. But I would say that I'm used to now to move out from I would say comfort zone or from where I usually live, because obviously as I was in France before, then I had to move in England, and even before I moved to Liverpool, I moved from Lyon to Orléans to stay there for 6 months. So there I learned how to be, like, I would say, away like or close to my family. So and then now moving from England to here, it's still a change. It doesn't, like, really impact me. I would say it doesn't impact me in a bad way. I find it cool. Otherwise, I would not do the move. So, yeah.
I don't know if you've had a chance to speak to Takumi Minamino or Sadio Mane before the move, but obviously they've played in Austrian football before. I'm sure there would have been conversations at Liverpool to make sure it was the right move for you and to make it as easy a transition as possible.
Yeah, I didn't speak to them before I moved here. I just spoke to Sadio when I was during the holidays. I told him about that I would go on loan, and he supported me, saying that if I go on loan, whether any league that I would go to, he will support me and watch the games. I didn't tell them about exactly the club where I would go to. I just spoke to Divock Origi, which I'm close to him also. Just before I took the flight, I called him, and he also called me before he signed his contract. So they are very close to me, and they're giving me, like, very good advice, not just them but also the club and the staff. For my move, it was not difficult. My agent helped me a lot with this, and Liverpool a lot. So I was a bit at the beginning. I was like, how is it gonna be? Because it's my first loan, and I don't know how we're gonna do this, the discussions and everything. But everything was great. And I feel comfortable, and I felt comfortable during that time of patience, because I was in holidays also. And then I was actually in France, in Paris, and that period of time was, it was a bit, I would say, intense. Also, I was doing my preparation for the next season, for this season, actually, whatever I would go to. So I didn't know, like, whether I will start again in pre-season with the first team of Liverpool or go straight to a new club. So I had to be prepared to any circumstances. And after that we signed, it was all good. But that day on the signing day was the day of when Sadio moved. So it was a long day because Liverpool were busy also. But as the young ones, you have to honor the elders, and it was a good day, and the discussions were good, everything was clear, so it was great.
What made you choose Austria Vienna? Were there any other clubs in for you at the time?
Vienna, they wanted me even a year ago, so they wanted me a year ago because I also had the opportunity to, or the choice, the opportunity to go to loan, but Liverpool and I had discussions, and we found that it would be best if I had another season, full season in the 23s, play games and having consistency during the season before a cool start. Men's football, like men games, are in a regular time. So yeah. So that's so they wanted me before, but what made me convinced of this choice was the plan that they had and the plan that Liverpool had for me for this season, and the plan that I had for this season, and the plan that my agent had for this season. So everything was confirmed. Obviously, sometimes we can have a vision, and Liverpool can have, or even or whatsoever clubs people are into. They can have sometimes different views, visions, so they can talk to and be make sure that they have the same base. But it was clear that also the way the way they play, obviously it's not the same players, it's not the same level, but the same idea of playing and the way that Liverpool want me to perform for this season and come back with new abilities and confirming some abilities I had and correcting some weaknesses in my game. So, and I had also the same vision. So the three areas were confirmed. So for me, it was clear that it was the good loan, and Liverpool were also convinced at 100% they would be perfect for me. And this is what the gaffer said to me, that would be perfect. And that's the best choice. That he actually said to me that he would prefer this. Obviously, that I had the a choice, my voice to say something. Obviously, at the end of the day, Liverpool can't say yes or no. So, the gaffer said that it would be perfect for me. So I took his opinion, his big opinion, his big voice, and his big vision. I respect it 100%. So I said, okay, thank you very much. And then it was perfect for me. Then I'm happy now, and obviously, you have a long season and games, a lot of games. So I'm very happy about that, for sure.
I think you've made 7 appearances so far. And one of the bonuses of going to Austria Vienna is European football. Like, you're playing in Europa League, you're in the Conference League now. And those 2 games against Fenerbahce, they must be the biggest games of your career so far. How did you find them?
Yeah, it was really, I was excited. I was excited, you know, to play those games. And seeing the stadium was full. The stadium was full. Our supporters were there. Also the Fenerbahce one came also, and the atmosphere was unbelievable. And then I really enjoyed it, and this is why this is a big bonus, you know, for me, for my loan, and especially as a young player, you know, to being able to play European football. And obviously that was it was a big game. And on the first leg and the second leg, I had the opportunity to play both and on all the game. So I'm glad about this and the experience that I had, and what I had to take on these games. I take whatever things I can take on the games like this. For sure I took something from it.
I think the last few weeks you've not played as much, you've not always been in the squad. Has your manager over there spoken to you about that? Like, obviously you're a young player, it's going to take time to adjust to your surroundings. I suppose it was understandable, but it's still a difference for you being away from home and not being in the team playing every week.
Yeah, obviously at the beginning was I didn't play, also I was not really playing just at the beginning of the season. I was had to improve and prove that I was there, ready to play to any type of games, whether it's cup games or European or league games. So I was preparing for that. And then at the same point, we changed the formation and we played at 3. This is when I was able also to show what I can do. And even before this, on certain games, we had some like injury or red card. So I had to come on and play. For example, the first game was Salzburg, and then our captain had to go to the hospital because his girlfriend was having a baby. So And then the next one came in, and then he got injured. So the next one was then me. And then, but yeah, I had the opportunity to show what I could do. And then I found quite at the beginning quite the consistency on these games. Then I remember one game, Pachirika, I came off at the 45 minutes. Enemy change formation, and from there we never put this formation again. And then the coach told me that it was not about whether how I play, but the formation they wanted to change, and then to come back with two center back when not three. And then I respect any decision that can help the team be better. So, but for sure every day I do everything that I can in training, and being ready to any circumstances if the coach is there to have me to call me to play.
Now, I'm expecting you to just say it was the shirt you were given, it's the shirt you wore at Liverpool, but you've got the number 89 shirt again. It is your shirt at Liverpool. Is there any story behind this one, or is it just that's what you were given by the kit, man?
Yeah, by the kit, man. No, I had the opportunity to choose. I had the opportunity to choose it when I came in, but I said, no, I want to keep the 89. I know that sometimes when we say number 7, everybody thinks about one player. When we say 66, we think about one player. When we say number 5 or number 4, we think about... So I would say, then 89 is going to be my number. I don't want to... Yeah, this is what I said. I said, and then say, are you sure? I said, yes, 89, I will make this number mine. And then, like, the when you say 89, we know that this is me. This is just the little story made this number famous. Like, yes.
So fingers crossed, in a few years, we'll see 89 Kometio Liverpool shirts all over the city.
That's it.
So I think that's it for on Vienna. Now I want to touch on, I suppose, starting with Liverpool, really, or before that, you're a winger at Lyon. And then they turned you into a centre-back. How did you find that change? I think you were only like 14 at the time, but it's still going completely different role in the team.
Yeah, I think most of the players when we were young, we all wanted to play forward, I think. I don't know about all the ones, but when I talk like mostly with the players, everybody wanted to play forward. Yeah, that was my position. Since I'm young, I was playing left wing, and then I remember 13, 14 years old, this is when I changed, and then even before going centre back, I played left back. And I remember it was in under 14. I had a difficult year where I was not playing that much, and I was growing. I think I took 12 centimeters in 1 year, in 12 months. So I had all kinds of pain, like knee. Tendon, you know, all the kind of stuff. So I was trying to find myself on the pitch and not playing, and then I was losing also speed and everything. So, and then one day I remember very well, we went, it was there at the last, it was the last games, and then this is when the trainer put me on center back, and I was playing well, and as I said before, playing center back, I moved left back. So I was more now defensive and learning how to defend and playing from the back. And then I remember that on the tournament at the end of the season, I was on the bench. I think you were playing against PSG. I don't know if you know any players there, but it was Tanguignons who was there. Kais Atil was there. Some of the famous players that played in France. Then I remember that we had an injury on centre back, and then the second coach said to the first coach that put Billy in, and then when he put me in, I did an incredible game, a crazy game, and everybody was shocked. And then from there, I stayed in that position, and then under 15, I did the whole season with Cyril Dolls, a trainer in Lyon, and I confirmed that, and I also enjoyed playing that. On that position, and I never changed from that time, and I was very glad to play there. I was very comfortable, and then this is when I learned how to lead the back line.
Thanks for the question. Which players did you look up to when you were a kid? You like, are we talking wingers or defenders? Who were your boyhood heroes?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I always wanted to play a winger. I always wanted to play winger. I didn't want to change. Always winger, winger. I was scoring a lot of goals. My parents were always there to watch. Was first my dad. Was first my dad. And then my mom came also, but I was still young when she came. But I always wanted to play winger and I never wanted to change. Yes.
So which players did you look up to? Who was your first hero that you wanted to pretend to be when you were playing football with your friends?
When I was younger?
Yeah.
When I was younger, I wanted to play like Ronaldo. when I was really like a young one, I wanted to play like him. This changed quickly because my position changed. It's clear from now, a few years now, that Van Dijk is the topic, is the one that I look to, and he's a monster. He's incredible, and even had the opportunity to train and to talk with him. I take everything with pleasure that he's saying to me, and then so now this is him for sure, 100%.
Now we'll get to Van Dijk a bit later on. Now I want to touch on your move to Liverpool. You had 6 months, I think, at Orleans. But when were you first aware of that interest from Liverpool? Did I know that sides try and sign you as well? Or was it Liverpool in for me? That's where I'm going.
So when Liverpool came, I was in Lyon. But the thing is that in France we have like dates. When if the club doesn't offer you anything, you have the ability to go anywhere you can go. So I was in Lyon, and then I was playing. I think it was in under 16, and we were three centre backs, same foot, same age, but different style of play. One moved, and then the other one stay and is playing now in the first team. So. At that time, I think I was the only player. I think we were two players that didn't get any offer from Lyon. So, and then this is when Liverpool came, and I was like, okay. And then my agent went to Liverpool to have the discussions and everything. And then he called me just before he went, and he said, Billy. I said yes. He said, Billy, if Liverpool come to me and offers you something, just a contract. He said, the contract, something interesting, a contract. Would you go? I said, okay, let me think about it, and I will call you back. And then I put the phone down, and then I went like, am I crazy? And then I called him, and I said, if Liverpool offer a contract, I will go straight away. And then, yeah, so he went, and then... And then he came back, we had the talks and everything, and then it took a bit of time, and then I said yes, I accepted the project, and I was very happy, and I'm still happy, and I know that I will still be happy in the future of that choice, for sure, 100%.
I think your first memorable moment at Anfield was as a ball boy. Like, it wasn't quite Oakley Cannonier passing the ball to Trent, but you were still a ball boy for that game. What are your memories of that? Like, that big Anfield experience on its most famous night?
When I think about this night, it's crazy. It was unbelievable, really. Actually, the thing is, a member of staff who's not... he's not working at the club anymore now, but he worked in the club for a long, long, long time, and everybody is happy about what he did for the club. It's Phil Roscoe. I don't know if you know him. And then he's the one who decides who we go to be a ball boy to these kind of games. And usually it's more the young ones, like the really young ones, who go there. Ben, my age was above that age, and I was like, me going to that game? And I was really shocked. I was like, okay, for sure I will go. I will go there, and for sure I will go 100%. And I was really shocked. And then when I arrived there, seeing the atmosphere and everything, the players so close to me, because usually we are in the stands. So I was like, wow, seeing the intensity and hearing the players talk on the pitch and being focused And obviously that big win, this win will never be forgotten in football, in the world. Everybody knows it about, I'm sure. And yes, and after the game, we were even there with the boys taking some videos about the atmosphere and about the reaction of the boys after winning this incredible game. Yeah, it was very good, and I will keep those memories for all my life, for sure.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And I'm sure games like that, it makes you feel, I want a bit of this. I want to be playing at Anfield. And you didn't have to wait too long to be in a match day squad for the first time. You didn't get on. But you're only 16 against Arsenal for that 5-5 draw. What are your memories of that occasion? And like, do you remember how it happened, how you got that call up, training with the team for the first time? Because it's still such a young age and you were that close to making your debut.
Yeah, I was very young, as you're saying. And the interesting thing is that my first time of training with them was just 2 days ago. It was just 2 days before this game, I mean. So it was my first time, and then I go there, and then I was like, okay. So and then I see the players, I see Millie, I see all these kind of players. I was seeing at that time, I think I was seeing Pulse and Nabi. I was like, okay. And then I was a bit stressed, you know. But it was a good training session. And then you had the training on the day after, so it was just before the game. And I was there with another centre back. I was there with another centre back, Morgan Boyce, and then he was on the left. I was on the right. So we were. So the manager was explaining to us how we would play. So we were doing those things, and he was talking. You have to go there, and there, you know, about the tactic. And so I was in my mind. I was like, I know that they need players. I know that we need players, and that he might pick some of the young team. So and I was like there, I was like, this training is like a game for me. This training is like a game for me, and I will give everything I can. And whether I don't know what choice he would take, but I will give everything and show that I'm here and I want to play and be on the squad on this game. And then after the training session, Vito came to me and said, tomorrow 9 o'clock. And I was like, I don't understand, 9 o'clock, what? And then he came and said, yeah, so you're on the squad, so tomorrow I will send you the schedule, but you have to come in the morning. And I was like, wow. And then I send that to my agent, and then into my family straight away. And then my agent came straight away, and he took his flight directly. And then I was very happy, you know, being there for the first time, going to the hotel with the boys was I still remember that like it was yesterday. And then I loved it for sure. And it was also a big game. It was a big game. And one thing that shocked me was that obviously not all the I would say all the players were there. We were a lot of young ones there. But the atmosphere was the same. And the stadium was full. And seeing this support was like, wow, this club actually, I think it's like every game the fans shock me. It's like it's like I learned new things game after game. I'm like, wow, this is incredible. And I was like hearing the chant, and I was like, wow. And then I was really enjoying it. And then when we had this win, I make this big rain on Curtis Jones. And so I loved it for sure. And
You didn't have to wait too much longer to play for Liverpool, though. Slightly different circumstances, I think, pre-season and when it was behind closed doors. But Jurgen Klopp praised you so much during that summer. Like, you were that breakout star, when you Billy the Kid, saying how much you'd grown. What are your memories of that summer in pre-season and training with Van Dijk, Salah and all of this, and being part of the Liverpool first team playing games?
It was very good, really. It was very good. And yes, I was hearing all of this. And I didn't take this for granted. I was like, wow, this is a big, compliment about the manager. I was also talking to him every day, you know, on training, and Hendo was coming to me, the elders, they were coming to me to talk to me and about the way I play. On the first days, I was a bit, I don't know how the training is gonna look like. I don't know how I will do, but the thing is for sure that I will remember 100% that is the way it made me feel comfortable. The way he made me feel comfortable, and I felt like he's a real family. And he said to me actually on my first game, I will always remember, and I think I will always share this story. And he said, just play like you play in training. Just play like you play in training. You are playing good. You are playing brilliant. This is your game, and then just enjoy it and do what you can do. If there's anything, any mistake, don't worry about it. Just do what you can. And if there's anything bad, it's me, it's not you. Just enjoy. And then I was like, whew. And then this is when I was able to do the thing that I do well. And then 4 years, I felt really welcomed by every second player. And then, yes.
What was your reaction when you heard of the praise Klopp had said to the media about you at that time?
I was shocked, to be honest. I was shocked, and I was like, okay, but I need to carry on. It's not because I hate this that now I have arrived anywhere. I have to keep pushing, I have to keep working, and do everything that the manager asked me to do. And everything that he asked me to do, continually, like every day when I was talking to him in training. So I was not like resting, like putting my head on my shoulders. Okay, so now he's happy, so now I will come. No, I was always making sure that I have the motivation every day to show and to confirm the thing that he likes me to do.
Your debut came in the Champions League. I think you came on at halftime, didn't you, for Fabinho against Midtjylland? I always say that name wrong, so we'll go over my pronunciation. But what was the message from Klopp in that game? Was it similar to what it said before, just go and play your normal game? What are your memories from that one? Because it must be a strange time to make your debut when there are no fans as well.
The thing is, so we were on the bench. I remember they were on the bench. I think it was Kirstis was there. I know that Matty was there. Hendo was there. So a few players were there. And I remember that Andreas told me that I would warm up last. And then I didn't understand at that time. What does that mean? Is it like that I'm not gonna play or what? And then I said okay. And then I just go, you know, to get warm. It's not that I will come on, but not to get warm and to be ready to any kind of circumstances. And then Hendo was saying to me, I think you will play. And I was like, really? Nobody told me anything. He said, I think you might play. And my head was like, okay, so now I have to start preparing like more. It's not like I was not ready, but now I focus more. And then I remember Andreas running onto me half time and saying, Billy, now you have to be active more, because now you come on. So yeah, it was the same. He never put me any pressure. Also playing, you know, on the other game at Anfield, never put me any pressure. Whether it was in the friendly games, it was always the same pitch, the same speech, sorry, and no pressure at all. But do the things that I can do, and for sure I know that he believes in my ability if he puts me there, and the things that he asked me to do is that I'm able to do them. So yes, that's it.
Were you aware that you became Liverpool's youngest player in the Champions League at the time? I know the record's since been broken, but still, must have been so proud to have that landmark to your name.
Yeah, I was shocked. I was like, if I play, I would be the one. And I was like, wow. But I was not, before the game, I was not focused on this. I was just focusing on the task that the team had to do. So every player had to do to this game. I was not focused on any like personal or record or anything. This is the last thing I would think about. And then I remember after the game, Gina Wijnaldum putting a post and saying congratulations to Leighton Klaassen and congratulations to Billy Comercio to be the youngest. And I was like, Yeah, actually, and I was like, yeah, so this is, so I was now, how do you say, a bit more conscious about it. And then I was like, yeah, this is a big thing, like having my name on a record, you know, for Liverpool, and I was very proud of it for sure. And but also know that I have to keep pushing and keep doing that and keep doing the things that I can do the best. Yeah.
This season, it's obviously going to be one that's remembered for the centre-back injury crisis. You've had your debut. Liverpool went out and signed a couple in January. You didn't actually get to make a league debut, but you're on the bench a few times. Was there ever that feeling in the back of your head that the centre-back crisis could get so bad, you might get a run in the team?
Yeah, the, on that season, I learned a lot. That anything can happen. Anything can happen. And it was a very difficult situation for them personally. And then like seeing that, yeah, and then like quickly, I was one of them that could like play like constantly and everything. I was like, wow, things can go really quick. And then the thing is like being like motivated and have a big vision, like the, yes, this year I actually can do more and more games, or I can play 5 games, I can do 10, it's possible, everything is possible in football. So this is what I learned on this year. And obviously, Rhys Williams and Phillips, what a year they did. And then, but yeah, I enjoyed it. And then, so yeah, this is what I learned, yeah.
The Blood Red Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And then last season, you got that Anfield debut. You got to play at Anfield in front of fans. What are your memories of that game, hearing You'll Never Walk Alone properly as a player for the first time, running out? I know it was a mixed emotions game, shall we say, with the roller coaster result. But still, you've got that ticked off now. You've played at Anfield for the Liverpool first team.
Yeah, it was an achievement as a young one or so, but also just as a young one, as a player, I'm sure a lot of millions of players want to play there and want to have to experience this atmosphere, which I believe, and I know that many believe that this is the best one in the football. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is a big game, but I was also I had to be focused on the task that we had to do, on what the manager asked us to do, and like seeing the support during the game, even from the fans, you know. So seeing Manon, and this is like, it's like they are in the pitch, you know. It's like they are in the pitch, like you hear them, and it's like, wow. And then like when you do something great, the way they clap, the way they support you, they encourage you. It was different, you know, from being in the stand and encouraging them that playing now you play, and then you hear the supporters encouraging you. It was a big feeling that I will never forget about, really.
And that first half, it didn't go to plan for Liverpool. It was a youthful team, so Jurgen Klopp went for the experience half time. I think you were one of three kids subbed off. Now obviously that could be quite a traumatic experience for any young player. Did Klopp say anything to you after that, or did any of the coaching staff come there around you, a senior player? Because you can understand why it was done, but still, it's not an easy thing to experience.
Yeah, not easy. Not an easy thing to experience. Obviously, it's not just as a young one, but I think as every player, I think everybody wants to play 90 minutes in a game. Everyone wants to play 90 minutes in a game, but I respect any decision. He's the manager. He knows more than I. He knows more than us. That's his job, you know, to do the substitutes and to change, you know, the tactic and everything. So I didn't say anything about it. We respect it 100% for sure. And yes, he came to me and saying that it was not about the way we played. You know, it wasn't about the way I played. The way I played, you know, with the ball was simple and passed to the right and the left was good. But yeah, you had to make change, and this is a decision. So it's that's what he said to me, and then I was like, yeah, no problem. I respect it 100%. And then but after that, it was great.
You mentioned a few players already, like Hendo, Milly, Sadio, and Divock. But I suppose, which players else are you closest to at Liverpool, and who put their arm around your shoulder and made you looked after you, I suppose, when you first got into that first team setup?
It was Divock helped me a lot. Was crazy the way he helped me. Actually the impact that he had on me was big. It was very big impact. As I was close and still close to him, I see the way he works. I see the way he works in his mentality, and it's not just seeing the way he works in training, but he was explaining to me his background and how we work to get there, and the thing that can help me be better, you know, on the pitch and at the club. So I take anything that he can that he's giving onto me, and then yeah, for sure, 100%. Yeah, he helped me a lot, you know, being comfortable. And also the thing is, you know, when you come for the first time, you know, in the what is in preseason or being in a group or play a game, and seeing the elders, you know, come and onto you and talk to you, making you comfortable, or just sit at your table, and you're like, I'm sitting there and eating with him, and then so you feel you feel good and you feel calmer, and then this is what I said, as I said earlier, seeing that he's a real family. And. And then Hendo came also, and Sadio also talking to me in the gym, seeing the way he works in the gym, and then all helping me, you know, even in the gym, and pushing me harder. Also, you know, sometimes Sadio, I think I shared this story one day. Sadio is the one that is always there before everybody. He's there before everybody. He works very hard. And then I came also earlier at that time, but not as early as Sadio. And I was seeing him walking in the gym, and I was like, "Wow, he's walking in the gym already." And this is the time that people come and go to eat, but he's not eating, and he's there walking in the gym. And I was like, "Wow!" And he was doing his sit ups. And I was like, "Wow!" And then I went to get changed, and then I went to get something quickly, then to eat. I came back to the change room. And then I went to join him in the gym. And I was still walking there. And then the squad came after, I think, 30 or 45 minutes after to the gym, and he was still walking there. And he was the last to go out of there. And I was like, wow. And sometimes so it's the one also that give me advice on how to walk and how to do the things. And I definitely take examples of everybody in the kind of position I look the way they are doing things. And if, for example, if like for 10 seconds or 1 minute I'm just staying there doing nothing, it would be like, "Billy, what are you doing? Come on, give more. And so he's the one that is pushing me, and I see his mindset, and that really impact the way we are. But it's not only me. I saw him talking to the young ones, even Divock talking to the young ones, talking to the ones that come from the academy, talking to them. So it's not just me, but on the other players. So when I see this mindset, I'm like, wow, this is very good, because I know what it is to how to feel, how we feel when we are young, when we come to the first team, and I know how they are feeling, the other ones that are with me or in training with the first team. And I've been training there for the good period of time. And so when someone was coming up like for the first time, and I was seeing him like the way he was reacting, and then I was like, yeah, I was feeling like this also before, and seeing that Hendo also came again to him and talked to him, Sadio came again to talk to him, and like, wow, this is very good. And then they were feeling good, and then on the pitch now they were able to do what they do good, simply. So they make us feel comfortable and being in a very good position to play football and do the things that the club want us to do, which is very good.
And if we look at centre backs now, obviously it's a very strong group at Liverpool. When you've got Virgil van Dijk, Ibu Konate, Joel Matip, and Joe Gomez, going further back, we include Dejan Lovren in that. What's it like being part of that group, learning from these players, playing alongside these players? As you've already said, van Dijk is elite. But it must be an eye-opening experience just to be on the same pitch as them and play alongside them.
Yeah, the thing, as I said, is I think that everybody can see it. They are very different, all of them. They are very different sizes, different physique and speed, and they have all kinds of different abilities, you know. the opt-out class, work class. But what I, how I am with them is that, first of all, it's a privilege to train with them and to talk with them every day. But I take what I can take from any of them, you know. I think we see for sure that they are all different, and then they have a different game, you know. Whether is Konate or the way Matip plays, or Van Dijk or Gomez. So I take from any of them and make my own game. But yeah, it's a privilege, you know, to see them every day, and every day I learn something new about them. Every day I learn something new about them, and which I'm really pleased about.
Now, a couple of quickfire questions on training. Who's the best player in training? And as a defender, who's the hardest forward you play against in training? Who's the one you never want to face against in the five-a-sides, the 11-a-sides?
The best player is very difficult. Wow, the best. I don't know. The best player, yeah. I think I would have to think for an hour. The best player, the best player, very difficult to tell.
I suppose they are all English, European, and world champions, so that's no harm if you can't think of one.
Yeah, to be honest, it's very difficult to tell. But one thing I noticed for sure, it was not last season. It was, you know, the first time when I trained with the first team. And I came back. I came back with the under-18s at that time, and they asked me who I found the best in training. I said Lallana for sure. And then everybody that went up and came back was saying Lallana is just his technique, the way he never lost the ball, like never lose. Like it's like the ball is just attracted to his feet, and it was unbelievable. And for sure, the forward that. Just though my headache is Bobby. Bobby is so difficult to defend. To defend Bobby, he can go to any direction. And the thing is that he can any kind of passes. Sometimes he does some things that you do not even imagine. It's like you think that he will do like simple passes, you know, and but he does something like crazy, and then you are like wow, and then. But yeah, he's the second one. And the first one that shocked me the first time when he trained with us, and I was like, one day I would like, obviously I want to train every day and be on the pitch, but one day, just one day of my career, I would like to just sit and watch him train, is Thiago Alcantara. Thiago is a very class, and I love watching him, the way he plays, and also the way he trained hard. But is very beautiful to watch. So yeah, but other than that, everybody is playing very good in training, and I love to watch everyone. But they are the two that I mentioned there.
Have any of the players been in touch with you whilst you've been out on loan? Has Sadio been watching your games, or has the manager texted you to say keep it up or anything? Who's been keeping in contact with you?
Yeah. Constantly in contact with the club. I keep them updated, and then they are very close to them. You know, continually whether I need something or whatever. As a player in the Liverpool squad. I haven't talked with anyone, just Divock that left from that time, but except from Divock, I haven't been in touch with anybody.
Okay, so no text messages off Jürgen either?
No.
Oh, there's still time.
Yeah.
Keeping an eye on you, hoping you do well. Just one last one now, really. Obviously, we've already touched on it. It's your first loan. What are your aims beyond that? Like, I'm guessing it's play as many games as you can for Vienna, come back and do well at Liverpool. But what are you wanting to do next? Is there another loan in the pipeline? Or is it be part of this Liverpool first team squad as soon as possible, as soon as you're ready?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, as you said, it's play as many games as possible, and also come back as a better player. And obviously it's my first year experience in men's football, you know, playing regularly. So for sure, the idea is to come back and play. To come back and play, I'm sure I will have the opportunity, you know, to go to preseason again. If I start again with them, I don't know what the plans will be next season. We never know. We never know if it's a loan or whatever. But for sure, I want to start and to being consistently in the first team squad and being able to play for sure. So that's my aim.
Perfect. Like Liverpool, they've got a clear plan for you. So hopefully it goes as smoothly as possible and your loan is as successful as it can be and you do play as many games. Thanks for joining us, Billy, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Blood Red podcast from the Liverpool Echo.